Morning. Hope that everyone is having a good, enjoyable holiday weekend. It's good to see you here today, though. You know, society says there should not be any judgment made regarding anyone's behavior. There was a professor one time at a conservative law school, who in his class on ethics asked the question, is there inherent evil in this world? And pretty much the entire class said, no. There is no such thing in this world as inherent evil. And so he asked a follow-up question to that one and said, would you consider the Holocaust inherently evil? And shockingly, the class said, no. And in fact, he asked one of his students, who was a Jewish student, he said, how can you say the Holocaust is not inherently evil, knowing that it killed 6 million of your own people? And the girl said, well, while I would never do it, I would never feel comfortable judging others or placing my morality on someone else. The Holocaust. You know, people are viciously attacked verbally, economically, and even physically for stating that they believe that there are things in this world that are right. And when people go against those things that are right, that they are, by nature of that very definition, wrong. And they get viciously attacked for holding to a standard of right and wrong. It is a right and needed thing to judge that homosexuality is not okay. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It is simply, according to God, sin. It is simply, according to God, an abomination. That's not Nathan, that's God. And if you have a problem with that, you have to take it up with Him. And as we studied in Bible class, Job wanted to take it up with God, and it didn't work out so well for him. It is right and needed for us to judge that premarital sexual relationships, no matter how common or accepted it is in our society, that they are not right. And they are not love. They are cheap emotion with no real depth, and they are sin. A person that does these things has no care for the person they're with, their soul, for their eternal destination. They have no love for that person because of such. It is right for us to state that God made us in the very beginning, man and woman. And I want us to take note that it was not by Adam and Eve's thinking or by their choice that they got to choose which one they were. When God made them man and woman, what if Eve had decided, well, no, I'd rather be a man. Then we just had man and man. That'd been a problem, wouldn't it? God made them man and woman. We do not have a choice. God formed us in the wombs of our mother, as David said, and He genetically made us male or female. You can wear a dress, you can have long hair, and you can have a surgery, and it doesn't change one single thing except that you have desecrated the body that God made for you. A person does not have a right to be violent or destructive just because they feel slighted or just because they've been wronged in some particular way, and this seems to be lost on a lot of people in our world today. Even if they have been truly wronged, they still do not have a right, and they are still wrong if they behave in a violent and destructive manner. I think very logically, so I struggle with some things that people say and do today. I'm amazed I've thought quite a bit about some of our young people today in colleges and in their safe zones. And I feel criminally attacked when somebody says something I don't agree with. Folks, we're just reaping what we sow. We have sown generations now of children that have never been told they're wrong, that have never been disagreed with, and they cannot handle it when they are disagreed with. That's our fault. That's parents' fault. And we go, why are they acting like that? Because we've never showed them that they are wrong at times. Adonijah, the son of David. Bible says that David never said, why did you do that? David never said no to Adonijah. And as a result, he was a problem when Solomon was to become king. Because he'd never been told that you're wrong. The greatest growth in my life has come when the judgment of my doing wrong was brought to my attention by someone. When my mother or my father or a fellow Christian said, Nathan, what you're doing is not right. Those have been the times in which, I didn't like it when I was told. And folks, that you just got to get used to that. Nobody likes it when they're initially told. I bet you don't either. But when they told me, and I thought about it honestly, and I owned it, I said, I don't want to do that. That's where I grew the most. Because somebody had the love for me to judge my actions to be wrong based on God's word. And to tell me that. And I'm very thankful to them to this very day and will be till the day I draw my last breath in this life. Someone needed to make judgments about my life, tell me about those things, and guide me to the truth. You know, what we're going to talk about today as we continue to talk about our series on what would Jesus preach, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we move now to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, we look at probably one of the most misused verses. I know I've said that several times because we're coming across a lot of verses where we see a lot of misuse. But this one is thrown around not just by people in the world, but it's thrown around in erroneous ways by members of the Lord's church even. You know, we're so taken by the cultural teaching and by our misunderstanding of what Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, that we're so quick in the church that anytime we say, I'm not judging, it's wrong to judge. I'm not judging. Folks, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that it's wrong to make a judgment that's right. It's not wrong for you to judge. In fact, by the end of this lesson, I hope you understand you can't even be a Christian and not judge. So stop worrying about whether or not I'm not judging, and just do what God says to do. It'll all take care of itself. There's no contradiction in what Jesus says here and what the Bible teaches as a whole. It begins in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. I remember when I was in a debate in high school, and I was debating, I was on the pro side of capital punishment. And I was debating this young lady, and she brought this scripture out. I remember it very clearly. She brought out, do not judge, lest you be judged. And I remember my rebuttal to her. Because I want you to understand, when Jesus says this, there's no degree to this. It would have to include all judgment. If this verse is saying that you cannot judge, it would include all judging. There's no narrowing of it. And my response to her was, then you believe in anarchy, that we should do away with the courts, and that there should be no judging whatsoever. She wanted it just to be judging in the life or death situation of a murder trial, but yet you can't limit it to that. Jesus says this here, but I want us to understand, he's not saying do not judge. He is saying do not judge unless you're ready and willing to be judged. And not only that, look at the next verse where he says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. If you judge others, you must be ready and willing to have that very same judgment that you apply to the lives of other people applied right back to you. Now that's where it gets hard, isn't it? Because I sure like to have a different standard for Nathan than I have for you. I like Nathan to get away with things. And we all are like that. We all like to have a little easier standard for us. So that we have a little wiggle room. But we're not nearly as giving when it comes to our judgment of others. And that's really what Jesus is addressing here. That if you're going to hold a strict judgment to others, you're going to have that same strict judgment meted back to you. Given back to you. In this specific context of the people that the Lord is speaking to, It is directed toward the Jewish leaders. It's directed toward the Pharisees. We look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, and he says there, just before he goes into his woes to the Pharisees, he says, "For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." See, there was a double standard, wasn't there? There was one thing expected of everybody else, but it wasn't what they expected of themselves. They tied up heavy burdens and placed them on other people that they would not lift a finger to carry themselves. They said one thing and did another. That's the unrighteous judgment that Jesus is dealing with. That's something that these people, when Jesus says this, they completely understand what he's talking about. They see it, they've lived it in their everyday life as victims of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. We also have a hard time applying the same judgment to ourselves that we do to other people. And Jesus elaborates on that. He understands that. And he elaborates on it as he goes forward in the text. He says, "Why do you," in verse 3, "why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Notice there the hypocrite phrase, right in line with the Pharisees again. But I want us to understand something this morning. None of us are perfect. And all of us sin. All of us fail at times. All of us exercise bad judgment at times. And we do those things which would not be and are not pleasing to the God of heaven. But that does not mean, that does not mean we cannot make a judgment. Just because I'm not perfect doesn't mean I cannot make a proper judgment according to God's will. It's not whether we have had a beam in our eye. That's not the question. It's what have I done to deal with it? It's not about that I had a beam in my eye at one time. Did I get it out? Did I make a proper judgment about my own life? Did I hold myself to a standard that understood there is a beam, there is a log sticking out of my eye, and did what was necessary in my life to remove that log? That's what it's about. To be able to remove that. When you have done that, when you have made proper judgment in your life, you understand how difficult it is sometimes. You understand that there are weaknesses that we deal with. There are things that we go through. There are sins that we deal with on a recurring time, that come back around and around in our lives, and we struggle with them. But when we get that log out of our eyes, we understand the journey. We understand how hard it is to quit some things, to put some things out of our lives. And that is why Jesus says, if you notice, he doesn't say, "Just get the beam out of your eye." He says, "Get the beam out of your eye." Why? Why, Jesus? Why do I want to get the beam out of my eye? So you can better see to get the speck out of your brother. See, I still got to get that. He's still my responsibility. Still an issue of judging, isn't it? I got to make a judgment. He's got a speck in his eye. But if I get this out of my eye, if I get this log out of mine, I'm going to be able to better see his, and not because I'm going to relate, I'm going to understand, I'm going to know where he's at. I'm going to say, "Brother, I've been there. I've walked the path you're on. And yours may just be a speck, and I'm glad it is. I'm glad it's not a log. Let me help you." You ever get something in your eye and you just can't get it and you need someone else, right, that can see it floating around on your eyeball? Get in there and get it. I don't like that. But we've had to have that happen, haven't we? Sometimes, folks, there are specks in our lives that we need our brothers to help us with, right? We need their hands on our lives to help us get the speck out. And hopefully we've got those brethren there with us that have taken some beams out of their own. And they understand our life. They understand where we're going. They understand what we're going through as we endure these things. But the most important part of judging is the standard by which we judge. See, Jesus commanded in John chapter 7 and verse 24 that we are to judge righteous judgment. We are to judge with a judgment, a standard not created by Nathan, not created by you, but the judgment and the standard that was set forth by God himself, who is righteous, in his word. That's our standard. That's the standard we use, and as long as that is the standard we use in bringing this judgment upon other people, then it is God bringing that judgment through us. Because it's not my standard, it's His standard that I'm doing. I'm just simply telling you, that's our job. That's our job as children of God, is to reveal God's wisdom to the world. And that means revealing to people that what they're doing is wrong according to God's Word. Not in a hateful way, not in an unloving way, and not just to have something to say. You know, some people just like to say you're wrong just to say you're wrong, right? You're going to hell and I'm glad of it. It's kind of the attitude, isn't it? Our attitude has to be, you're lost, my friend. Let me help you. Take my hand and I'll take you to Jesus who can save your soul. Folks, if you're not doing it for that reason, if you're not reaching out to help them, if you're not reaching out to bring them to Jesus Christ, do keep your mouth shut. Because anything you're going to say is going to be pretty worthless in that endeavor. But we reach out to people. We long to bring them to Jesus Christ, and that requires that we judge. Folks, you cannot be a Christian and not judge people. You have to judge a person to be a sinner in order to understand that they need Jesus Christ, don't you? How could I ever go up to somebody and say, you need Jesus Christ, if I'm not allowed to judge that they're a sinner, they're outside of Christ, that they haven't obeyed the gospel? There's a judgment that has to be made there that they're a sinner. I'll never be able to tell anybody you're lost and you need Jesus Christ if I can't make that judgment based on God's Word. You have to judge the actions of Christians in order to know whether you need to reach out to them to bring that sheep home, to bring that prodigal back. You know, a Christian starts doing things that they shouldn't do, and they know they shouldn't do, and the Bible clearly states that they shouldn't do, but I can't judge. I'm not judging. It's wrong to judge. Well, how am I ever to do anything about it? There has to be a judgment. I have to judge that they're living wrong and they need to be brought home so that I can help bear their burdens, as Galatians 6 says, and fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. You know, later in this same chapter, Jesus calls for us to judge a tree by its fruits. What's he saying there? He's saying, judge an individual by what they do. Specifically in context of what he's saying, judge a teacher by what he teaches, right? Folks, if I got up here this morning and I told you that it didn't matter what you do, it didn't matter how you live, that God loves you and he's going to take you to heaven, is anybody going to judge me? You better. Or you're going to be just as wrong as I am for saying it. Judgment is a requirement to be a child of God. You cannot tell people what Jesus has taught and not address the different aspects in which people choose to live that are in opposition to the teachings of Jesus Christ. All these responsibilities that every Christian has requires that they judge the actions, the fruits of others. Judging is not bad. It is, according to society, but it's not when it brings us to right. Judging is not bad, it's needed. And if people are ever going to live and do what is right, there's going to need to be some judging involved. You know, they must know that the life that they are living is wrong in order for them to understand the need to live right. How can I ever get someone to understand that they need Jesus Christ if I never tell them why? And there's only one reason why they need Jesus Christ, right? Because you're wrong. Because you're lost. Because you've sinned. That's judging. That's bringing a judgment upon someone. How will they ever know they need to change if we never tell them? They may not like it. And some will get very upset about it. But there will also be those that after that moment of being upset, they'll go, you know what, you're right. Hadn't thought about it. Folks, there are people living in sin in our world today that have no idea that what they're doing is wrong. Zero. It's all they've ever done. It's all they've ever known. They've never sat in a room like this on a Sunday morning. They've never heard a single verse probably from the Bible except maybe seeing the guy hold John 3:16 up at the football game. They don't even know really what they're going. You know, there's some people out there probably look at that and go, what does that mean? And we expect that they know what's right? They don't know. But this does. And we have to tell them what this says so that they do know. And then they have the opportunity to choose. They can get mad and reject, or they can choose to accept. And you will see both and everything in between. But there has to be a judgment made. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, we talk about having a good weekend, enjoying one another, enjoying the time that we have. But folks, let's you know, yeah, it's a three-day weekend and yeehaw. There's some people that paid a price this weekend's designed for us to take some time to remember. There's families this weekend that this weekend is a painful weekend. It's not one of barbecuing, but it's one of sad remembrance of someone that's no longer in the house. You know, so many soldiers have given their lives. The vast majority did so because, folks, they made a judgment. The vast majority made a judgment that there was something wrong that they wanted to set right. There was something being done that was evil that they wanted to bring to an end, right? Many soldiers in the Civil War died and are buried, gave, as Lincoln said, their last full measure of devotion that the evil of slavery might end. They made a judgment that that was wrong. They made a judgment that that was wrong and needed to be removed, right? And they gave their lives for it. There are many in what we call the greatest generation that saw the atrocities committed by the Japanese and made a judgment that that's wrong and it has to be stopped. There were those that saw the aftermath of the Holocaust as we took those camps, as we invaded Europe and took Germany out, and we found those camps and we saw what they had done to millions, men, women, and children. And we didn't say it's okay. We said somebody has to pay for that. That's wrong and it's going to end. As Reagan said in his speech, never again. There was a judgment and those men died. 9/11, so many of our young men, I was watching an interview with a Marine today and he was talking about how many of the young men that now serve under him, he signed up before 9/11. He said, but a lot of the young men now, he said they've joined up with the Marines knowing they're going to see combat. So many young men saw those towers fall and all those people die and said, that's wrong. And they went out to try to make right. To do what was right and to oppose that which is evil and wrong in our world. Soldiers act from a judgment of what is right. Let me tell you what, the soldiers that are willing to give their lives are the people that act from sincere heart judgment that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to give your life for it. And they do. I'm thankful for such men of conviction that have shed their blood to bring about the end of evil and the establishment of right in so many ways in this world. May God bless such men of proper judgment and action. For us, let us judge with righteous judgment. Seek to destroy evil with the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, our weapons are not weapons of guns and tanks, planes. They're God's weapons, spiritual weapons, God's word. And may we give every ounce of life, every drop of blood in our last breath, acting on the judgment of what is right as set forth by God in this world, that men may know that you have to do what God says or you're wrong. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no vote. There's no Supreme Court decision. It's been decided by the highest court in the universe, God. And you need to know. God, the righteous judge, made a judgment concerning the evil of this world and sent Jesus to destroy that evil and bring the light of purity and righteousness to the light lives of men. But one day, folks, the judgment is going to end in a single judgment when every single person, whatever generation, millennial, whatever, I don't even know what the current list is, whatever culture, every single person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what they have done. And it won't matter if you say, I don't think you should be judging me, because he has every right to judge you. He's creator and he is Jesus Christ. And he died for you. He He has the right to be judge. He has the right to tell His people how to judge. And He has. And He will hold us accountable in that day too, whether we have exercised righteous judgment in bringing people to Him. May we be ready for that day. This morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you with every ounce of love that I have in my heart, I wish you would. I wish you'd give your life to Jesus this morning, because you're wrong. And that's not Nathan's judgment. That's God's judgment from His book. And there are plenty of verses to back that up. You're living outside of Jesus Christ. You may call yourself a Christian, but if you haven't obeyed what the Bible says, if you're not living according to what the Bible says, then you're not living right. And we want to help. We don't just yell wrong to hear ourselves yell wrong or to pretend that we're so much better than everybody else. We say wrong so that hopefully that wrong can turn to right in the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, you have that opportunity. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I have a feeling if you're here this morning, you do to some degree. What are you going to do with that? It's worthless just to say, yeah, he's there. I believe He exists. What are you going to do about that? If you really believe Jesus is God and you believe that He knows more than you, won't you listen to Him this morning? Change your life and live the way that He says is best because you believe that He knows best. It's called repentance. To change the life where I'm living according to my ways, what I want, what I think, to what Jesus says and in accordance with His will. To do all, as Colossians 3:16-17 says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To confess, to tell everybody that you see, tell everybody at the time of your obedience to the gospel, that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then do as He is commanded, to be buried in baptism. He was buried. Dying, letting that old man die of sin, just as He was buried and sin was destroyed as He rose from the dead, and you rise having your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism to walk a life with Him. And at times you're going to need to make some judgments on yourself and in regard to others, that others may know Christ and that you might be what He wants you to be. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've gotten so enamored with our world and this don't judge it. You never tell anybody they're wrong, folks. You can't be a Christian and live like that. Because you can't bring anybody to Christ if you can't ever tell them why they need to come. Change today. Judge your life this morning. Are you living as Christ would have you to live? Make that judgment and hopefully turn a wrong life into a right one in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning as we stand and as we sing.